The first aliyah of Parshas B'Shalach begins with the words Vayihi B'Shalach Paro Asa'am. Rav Avram Weinfeld in a Sefer Lev Avram comments that the language of Vayihi normally connotes a language of Tsar, and here what it represents is specifically the fact that the language of Paro sending away the nation represents the fact that there were those who at that point still didn't want to go among the Jewish people, and that they had to be actively sent out by Paro. And in the Mechilta, it notes that the language of Shalach represents Levaya, that the Mitzrayim accompanied them, and that that was credited to them as a mitzvah. And for that reason, we have the prohibition of Lo Sasai of Mitzri, that we shouldn't hate the Mitzrayim, we should have gratitude to them for what they did. The Torah Tamima explains that by the end, they were acting nice, and they were trying to pretend that they had been helpful, and therefore there was a concern that perhaps the Jews would indeed fall for that, and maybe they would want to go back. The Chafetz Chaim notes that the language here of kikarovu, that there was a temptation to go back, is particularly relevant on a Musa level, because we know that Chazal tell us chamushim represents, in one interpretation, that it was only a fifth that decided to go. Therefore, this should represent the strongest of the people, the best of the best. And yet you see that even they are vulnerable to temptation, and it indicates just how hard sometimes we need to work in order to make sure that we are protected from temptations of all kinds. Balia Tosfos explained the language of kikarovu is because they were close to God. And if Simcha Zissel Broid Nassam Derech notes that the message there is that they could handle the long way because they are close to God, and that this is a reflection ultimately of his love for them and his proximity to them. The Rambam and the Mar Nevuchim explains that the reason the Jews had to take this long route in the Midbar was because they had to experience the miracles there, and that itself was relevant to their process of building Emunah. The idea here of the necessity to take them this long path so that they shouldn't fall prey to temptation also has a Musar value, in the sense that it reflects that sometimes what's necessary to overcome temptation is distraction, and simply to be pushed in another direction so that one is not led to pull down the path of temptation. The language of pen yinachem ha'am, so pen is normally a language of safek, who knows, maybe this will happen, which seems a little difficult considering that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan and he presumably should know. He knows everything. So the Ibn Ezra suggests that this is simply Lashon B'nei Adam. It doesn't mean it literally. Rabbeinu Bachya understood that pen here doesn't mean maybe they will, but it means in order that they shouldn't. Chaim Paltiel, in his commentary, suggested that it does mean literally, because this would have been a spiritual decision, and we have the notion of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Meir HaShemayim, and therefore that option was still left in their hands to choose what to do. He also suggests that Yinachem doesn't necessarily have to mean that they will succeed, but that they will want to, and that was also something that was being addressed with this plan. Pasuk Yurches begins V'yasev Elokim Es'am Derech HaMidbar Yam Suf, and that language of V'yasev has additional meaning, not simply that they were turned around, but that the Medrash suggests, it also connotes that Hashem made them lean. And the Tziv comments that this is another interpretation of Chamushim, referring to being confident and relaxed, and the Medrash comments over here that this is the source of the obligation of Haseba. So this gives an additional element to understanding that halacha of Haseba, which has different components to it. On the one hand, it is a din in Cheres, that we want to show that we are eating Pesach night in the Derech of a king. But apparently there's also a component of Prishumenisa, that it itself is meant to display how the original miracle happened. And this affects a number of the concepts related to the notion of Heseba. Now the next pasuk tells us, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, that Moshe took the bones of Yosef for burial, and the Medrash and the Shmos Rabbah comments over here, the Gemara in Sota has a comment as well, that we can apply to Moshe the Pasuk in Mishlei, Chachem Lev Yikach Mitzvos, that here one who is wise of heart, this notion of Chachem Lev is going to come up again and again in these parshiyos now pretty much for the rest of Sefer Shmos. So the idea of Moshe as a Chachem Lev, because he seeks to acquire mitzvos, he performed this act of taking the bones of Yosef while the rest of the Jews were involved in Bizas Mitzrayim. And Rashiv Karen Biavner of Goldfuch commented that on the surface it doesn't seem like a fair comparison, because the Bizas Mitzrayim was also a mitzvah. So the Jews were doing mitzvos and Moshe was doing a mitzvah. So why do we compare them negatively and say that Moshe was the one who was a Chacham Lev and recognized the importance of Ki Yikach Mitzvos? And he explains that the language here is not Ki Chacham Lev Yaseh Mitzvos or Yekayim Mitzvos. It doesn't mean simply that one with spiritual wisdom will recognize the importance of doing mitzvos, but rather it means yikach mitzvos, he will seek to acquire mitzvos, seek to perform mitzvos that will have an impact on the personality. So that means not only that which is technically a mitzvah, but especially that which is a mitzvah that is more difficult and requires more intention, and that will have a greater impact on the soul. So yes, the Jews were performing a mitzvah in taking the property, but that was a mitzvah that was easy to convince them to do. But when it comes to a mitzvah like being involved in the Chevra Kadisha and taking care of the burial needs of Yosef, that was a mitzvah of much more effort and with much less profit involved, and therefore he recognized that this is something that's going to impact his personality, a yikach mitzvos, and that reflects his spiritual wisdom. In the Sefer Eish Tamid of Rav Druk, he notes that one could also point out that there were other Jews who were involved in other mitzvos as well, in cutting down the trees so that they could take them for the Mishkan. So why are they not credited in the same way? Doesn't have the same profit incentive as the Bizas Mitzrayim. And he suggests that nonetheless, there's still a difference between a mitzvah such as that, looking to contribute to the building of the Mishkan, which has an obvious mitzvah component to it, and contrast that with a mitzvah-like burial, which the mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveiro doesn't always necessarily resonate with people as a mitzvah in the same way, and therefore that also reflects a particular spiritual sensitivity to Moshe's recognition of what will have a greater impact overall on his mitzvah personality. The Oznayim LaTorah notes that the incorporation of bringing Yosef with in this stage of the development of the Jewish people was also productive in conveying a number of messages. One, that like Yosef, it's possible to control your Yetzirah. Second, that the Jews should recognize they shouldn't go back to Egypt, which was Kofar B'Tov, which denied the good that Yosef had done for them. And three, that they should see themselves as B'nai Malachim, just as Yosef stood into this position of royalty. So he suggests in that sense that Atzmos Yosef Imo can be contrasted with how Yosef had made the request using the language of Itchem. And he explains that S with somebody else means two people are going somewhere together, but for two different purposes, while Im means for one purpose. And Yosef originally had just asked that he be brought with so that he could be buried. And Moshe incorporated that process into the whole nature of what was going on, and therefore it became unified into one goal. And the idea of the language of Imo, the Gemara and Nazar and Daf Mem and Beis, notes that even though there's a Tamei situation here, he can still come into the Machna Levia. So we see here that Yosef would have been considered Tamei halachically, and the Torah Tamima notes that this should be a proof to a suffix that was raised by the Mishnah Melech and Hilchas Evel and Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, that raised the question of the halachic status of mummies. So here we see that Yosef, while he was in the state of being a mummy, was still subject to Tumas Meis, and that should be a proof to one side in that question. We find here also the Pasuk uses the double language of Hashpeya Hishbiya, and the Mechilta says is that they are committed also to making their children take a shvua. And the Torah Tumima comments on that, that the Ramah in his Shuvas has the machlokes as to whether children are obligated to fulfill the shvua of their parents. And we see from here that apparently not, because there was a need to have them take on their own shvua. And that's also a proof for the position of the Rush, as quoted in Yoredei in Simin Reish Chav Ches, and was also supported by the Noda Bihuda in his Shuvas in Yoredei, in Chelik Beis, in Kof Ben Vav, that it's not possible to impose a shvua on future generations, because here we see again there is a need for them to take a shvua of their own. In the last pasuk in Aliyah, we find Vayechazek Hashem Mislev Paro Melech Mitzrayim Vayirdof Acharei Bnei Yisrael. So here, this idea of strengthening Paro's heart is not necessarily connected to some of the philosophical questions that were raised in the earlier parshios about the loss of free will that is suggested by this language. But here, it's a reference specifically to his military strategy, to his decision to chase after the Jews even under these circumstances and all counter indications. But as Rav Simcha Zissel Broyd notes, that it does reflect the capacity for self-deception and how one can totally ignore all signs that point in other directions and fool themselves, and in doing so act very much against their self-interest. And this is contrasted with the end of the pasuk where we're told of Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biad Ramah, and the comment of Rashi here, Bigvura Gavoa Mufarsemes, with great power and great publicity. And as the Mefarshim also note, that they were no longer like slaves, but now they were like redeemed people who could sing and be proud of their future.